I didn't know Brother Brad Wells was going to be here tonight. But this message is really an opportunity to show about being there. I honestly do not believe that the ravens that fed the man of God would have fed Elijah anywhere else, nor would that little widow woman have appeared anywhere else except there. There. I don't believe you can just ramble around and have God provide for you. God didn't say, Elijah, now get this, God didn't say, Elijah, ramble around any place you want, and I'll take care of you. He didn't say that. Ramble any place you please, and I'll provide. He did not say that. Here's what he did say. There is a place for my will. The ravens will feed you there. The widow woman will take care of you there. There was the place of God's will for Elijah. The place of his promise. The place of his power. And the place of his provision. I want you to begin to ask yourself a question tonight. No matter who you are or where you are or what you're doing at church or what you're doing in your life, are you where God wants you? Are you in your there? Are you there? And if not, do you know how to get there? Roman numeral 1. There was the place of God's purpose. God, ladies and gentlemen, now listen closely. God has a there for everybody in this room. Somewhere he wants you to be, and something that God wants you to do that only you can do in the place where God wants that done. I have to ask you again, are you there? Are you in the place where God wants you? And are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you there? He wants you to be something. And God wants you to do something. You can never be truly happy anywhere else, nor can you please God anywhere but there. Now, you may do lovely things, and honestly, there are a lot of men and a lot of women who have been successful to some degree in other areas, but always there will be that haunting sense of having chosen life's second best because you need to be there. So it doesn't really matter how many of Earth's awards or crowns we may gain if we miss the reward of God's approval. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We shall feel at the close of the day that we would gladly give everything else away for the one thing we missed, finding the there. I am so glad, seriously, I am so glad I can preach this message because I feel for 41 years I have been there, exactly where God wants me to be. And I'm glad for Brother Wells being with us tonight in our service because people say, well, do you ever switch? Do you ever change? Yes, God may choose another there for you to be, and you must listen to God. Brother Wells is listening to God. He was a missionary for 16 years in Papua New Guinea. That was the there for all those years. But now for some reason, only God knows that. But our country needs men in Washington, D.C. And this young man wants to give himself to the cause of Christ in Washington, D.C. and plant a church and have a ministry, and have an influence. Maybe God's stirring the nest because God's there has moved for him from Papua New Guinea to Washington, D.C. But you've got to know, ladies and gentlemen, where your there is. Elijah would have not been fed anywhere but there. You can't just ramble around. Woodrow Wilson spoke of being defeated by one's secondary successes. Oh, I think we are cheated when we choose our own way. Whatever we may attain in that way, if we miss the purpose of God, I'm telling you one more time, in Roman numeral 1, there was the place of God's purpose. God has a purpose for everybody in this room. And everybody here, everybody, you need to find the purpose that God has for you. I'm telling you, it's not just sitting in a pew and warming the pew. Roman numeral number 2, won't take me long. There is the place of blessing. Go with me to Genesis chapter 35 and verse number 1. When Jacob wandered from Bethel and trouble descended upon him at Shalem, God commanded him. God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. You see it? Go to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Sometimes we go back to Bethel, and those times are usually in a revival-type meeting. We feel so good in a revival, and we go back to Bethel, and we say, man, I've had revival. I went back to Bethel, the altar of God, and boy, I feel great. God's doing something to me. And so in revival meetings, sometimes we do go back there. But so often we don't dwell there. And the scripture said, dwell there. God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. I have a little star in my notes here. There is not a particular emotional experience now. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's an emotional experience. It is simply the place of God's will for your life. David, go to Acts chapter 13 and verse number 36. In Acts 13, 36, for David, after he had served his own generation, notice what it says, he served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. David served his generation by the will of God, and in so doing, he proved that entire time that he was there. Our Lord could say to the Father in John chapter 17 and verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You know why he could say that? Because our Lord was always there. Oh, aren't you getting hungry to be there? Wherever you're there is, God, preacher's talking to me tonight. Holy Spirit's talking to me tonight. I want to be there. Wherever God wants me, that's where I want to be. I want to be there, preacher. I want to be where God wants me. No matter, I've got to get there. God has a Cherith and a Zarephath for you as well. It may be across the street or maybe across the sea. Some sing, I'll go where you want me to go. But they're not willing to stay where God wants them to stay. Sometimes you're there is not to move anywhere. It's to stay. I've often thought my there had moved. But for 41 years, my there was here. And I know it. There's no secret. I know it. I know where I'm supposed to be. I'm so glad I know it. I meet all kinds of preachers who don't know it. And they're constantly worried about where they're going to go next and how they're going to march up the ladder next. I don't care about the ladder. I don't worry about the ladder. I want to be in His there. Wherever, Holy Spirit of God, you want me, that's where I want to be. We thought years ago as kid preachers, my wife and I, when we came here, I was 26 years old, and I thought to myself, I'm going to start with little old Clyde. We had 30 members here, and that's my there for now. And by the way, I preached the same sermon back in 1977. I just checked my notes just to make sure. 1977, and I said, I am so glad I'm here because this is my there. And I thought about 4 or 5 years of being there, I would probably go to some bigger city like Toledo or Cleveland or Dayton or somebody, maybe Indianapolis where my wife was from, because we want to be in a big city where we have a big church. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you what God said is, you're there is Clyde, Ohio. I've been as happy as I can be being in my there. Listen, some of you need to get settled and get adjusted and just say, this is my there. Harvest is my church. Here's my there. I'm going to work and labor and do for God and give and be a blessing. It's my there. A radio preacher tells of receiving a letter from a young lady. I've often thought about this, who was sure she could not do great things for the Lord in the little town she was in. She had to move to Pittsburgh. That's how all of us who are, when we're young, that's how we think. I got to go to the big city, there's more people, get more people to come. And so she said to the preacher, pray for me because I got to get out of this little town and I got to get to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's where I've got to go. I can't do anything in this small area. And it so developed over the years that she even refused to do the small task in the church that she was in. She wouldn't do any of the small tasks. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not going to do the small task, God's not going to take you someplace else to do a big task. You got to do the small task in the small place first anyway. Anyway, she just couldn't get herself adjusted to do that. She always had dreams of going someplace else, going to another city, going to the big city of Pittsburgh. And I thought about her, and I thought about how we have Pittsburgh Christians everywhere. I call them eagles setting on hummingbird's nest. Always too big for where they are. There's some folks who are just too big for where they're at. Let God use you, and you're there. In the account of the Great Commission, go to Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 16. In the account of that Great Commission, sometimes we overlook the setting. I want you to see the setting. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain. Now notice, look at the setting. Into the mountain where Jesus had, the next word's important, had appointed them. You see, that appointment was the there. You got to be there. If you're going to be blessed, you got to be there. Listen, if I'm going to be blessed, I got to be here. This is my there. If you're going to be blessed, this is your there. You've got to understand, I've got to find my there. Because there's where the blessings are. They were in the place of divine appointing. Therefore, they received the divine appointment. Some of us have no commission because we are not there at the place of appointing. Roman numeral 3. The next place, there was the place of God's power. There was the place of God's power. Now, first of all, say it to me. What's number one? Number one, there was the place of God's purpose. God has a purpose for everybody. Everybody in this room has a purpose. You didn't get saved just to get saved. God saved you for a purpose. There's something he wants you to do. There's somebody he wants you to influence. There's a purpose. Number two, there is the place of blessing. If I'm going to get blessed, I've got to be there. And number three, there is the place God's power. I do not believe that the miracle of the ravens coming to give him the food and the meal barrel never going empty would have occurred anyplace else but there. Come on, amen? Could have happened anyplace else. Men wonder why they never feel God's power or see any evidences of his working. It's because they're out of his purpose and they're not in his will. We say, what power Elijah had? But he had no power. Elijah had no power. He just like us. He had no power. He was simply there. Somebody said he was simply there. Man, you might hook up a really nice radio or whatever, and you say, wow, that radio has acoustical sounds. Man, that's got power. No, the radio has nothing. It's just an apparatus. We might say, wow, that projector has a lot of power. No, it's just an apparatus. All that it is, it's connected to the source of power. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be there, you've got to be connected to the source of power. That power is Almighty God. I've got to get there. You'll never have God's blessings and you'll never have God's will if you can't get there. I hope you're thinking about that. When the traffic officer stops you, he steps out in the middle of the street and blows his whistle, his hands up. He's not so strong. You could take your car and run right over him. You could, but something stops you. He's blowing his whistle. He's got his uniform on, and he says, hold it, halt, or whatever he says. And you come to a screeching stop. Not because he's so strong, but he's connected to something that is strong. Are you there tonight? In your Christian life, are you there? Do you have his strength? Are you there? Heard the story of a... I'll tell you that in a second. You and I need to understand something. We're nothing in ourselves. But when we are in the place of God's purpose, we will have God's power. And the Bible says it this way, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. That's what the Bible says. Hudson Taylor said, he only thought God was looking for men strong enough to use, but he learned later that God was looking for men weak enough to use. For example, the lad who supplied the loaves and the fishes for the feeding of the 5,000, was at a loss. If you'd have told him that your little fishes and your little bread is going to feed thousands of folks today, he'd have been at a loss. He would have said, what? There's no way that my little loaves and little fishes are going to feed everybody. You mean thousands of people are going to eat? Oh, yeah, thousands of people are going to. But nobody said that. All he did was he gave it away. And he gave it to God, who multiplied it, and thousands were fed. You say, I haven't got much, preacher. I don't have much to give to God. You don't have to have much. Just get there. And when you get there, God will make it much. I'll guarantee it. He did not know what he had until he took it to Jesus, and Jesus broke it and blessed it. Passed it around. And I'm convinced you don't know what you have. Our teenagers don't know what they have. Listen, Mom and Dad, you need to develop these kids. They don't know what they have. They don't know what abilities they have. Give it to God. Young people, don't throw your life away. Give that life to God. Parents, come on, help me. Help Brother Holmes. Don't let them throw their life away. Give it to God. And it will surprise you what God will be able to do with a little life that nobody thought would do anything. But when they got there, God blessed them. You might say to yourself, you mean my son's a preacher? Someday. He's preaching to 500 every Sunday? You gotta be kidding me. God can do that. God can take a Roger Tooley who couldn't pass in the public school system, who played with blocks and building materials instead of learning educationally. And the teacher herself said to myself and Brother Starr, he'll never be able to do mathematics. He'll never be able to read properly. And now he's a missionary in the country of England. And has been there for a number of years. Doing what? Being connected to his there and being able to let God use his life. Why? Because somebody said, listen, son, I believe you can do it. Let's just get you to Jesus. And he got there. Oh, don't kid yourself. God can use anybody. There's no place like there. Only when we are there in the place of his purpose, are we in the place of his power. Samson did a great many remarkable things. Remember that in the Bible? He may have looked better after his haircut, but he lost his strength. He did. Too many Christians let the world give them a haircut. One day they carry off the gates of Gaza. The next day they may have their head laying in the lap of Delilah. They do not abide in Christ because they don't stay there. Almost every young preacher that started when I started preaching, almost every young preacher who now should be in his 60s somewhere, are no longer preaching. Many of them are completely out of church. It breaks my wife and myself, our hearts, to see all those people we grew up with who were preaching the gospel, who were excited about the things of the Lord, no longer even going to church. You know what they did? They got away from there. I know. There's no place just as good as there, the place of God's purpose. We try to strike up bargains with the Lord so oftentimes to do something else. Seek a compromise or a substitute. I've done a little bit of that. We work terribly hard at something that may be fine and lovely, but it's not his choice. Inwardly, we're actually rebellious. A minister was talking about this kind of thing, and I took a note one time, and he said, this mother has talked to her little son, and he was stubborn. And the mother said, son, sit down. He didn't. His mother told him again, son, sit down. He refused twice. Then she made him sit down. And the mother turned away, and as she turned away, the little boy said, Mama, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. That's how some of us are. So often do we seem to be yielded to God and living there, but inwardly we are rebellious. I've been with some preacher friends of mine who said, I don't know why I'm even in the ministry. I really don't like people. I don't like doing what I'm doing, but this is where God wants me. I said, no, sir, brother. You need to get out. God doesn't want you here. You're too grumpy. God don't want to use people like that. There. Number four. Number one, there was the place of God's what? Purpose. Shout it out to me, please. There, number two is the place of God's blessing. Number three, there was the place of God's power. Number four, there was the place of God's provision. There would have been no bread, no flesh, no meal for Elijah anywhere, I don't think. But there. A lot of people think they can just do whatever they want and God will still take care of them. I think you have to be there. I think you have to be there. You have to be where God wants you. And when you're where God wants you, he'll take care of you. But you got to get there. So important. Where God guides, what's the little proverb say? He provides. Where God guides, he always provides. Notice that God said, I have commanded. Notice what he said. I have commanded. Look at those verses again. I've commanded the ravens to feed thee. What's the next word? There. I've commanded the raven. God commanded the birds to feed the man of God. But he had to get there. Hey, God will take care of you, and God will feed you, and God will supply, but you have got to get there. For some reason we live like we don't have to do that. We have to get there. God will provide. I've commanded, he said again, a widow woman. What's it say next? I have commanded a widow. Anybody there at that verse of scripture? I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Isn't that what it says? I have commanded a widow woman there. Not somewhere. I've commanded her there. She's right there. You got to go to her house. You got to talk with her. I've commanded that little widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, God could have done it without her help, I'm sure. Do you think God could have done it without her help? But he had that little widow woman there. Oh, that's so important to see this. I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I've commanded the little widow woman there to sustain thee. Elijah, if he had gone ahead and made arrangements, that would have been bad. Now, I know these are strange arrangements, that's for sure. I doubt that stranger arrangements have ever been made for a preacher. But the plan worked, as it always does when God's in it. Come on, amen. He is responsible for our upkeep when we follow his directions. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, he is not responsible for any expenses not included on the schedule. Amen. I'm kind of concerned about that stuff in life. I want to make sure I'm on his schedule. When you're on his schedule, he takes care of it all. You step out and do your own thing, you've got to pay heavy. And you may not be able to pay for it. Careful. Elijah began his interview with a widow by asking, like our Lord at the well, for a drink of water. Remember our Lord asking that question? You observe something here that when Elijah found this woman, what was she engaged in doing? She was engaged in doing a menial task. What was the task she was doing? Gathering sticks. She was gathering sticks. But before he left, she had been not only gathering sticks, but then she had seen the miraculous. So she was doing a menial task when he came. So she went from menial task to miraculous. And she got to see that because she was there. Hey, listen, folks, she had to also listen in order for him to be there. She had to also listen to be. Remember what he asked for a drink of water and then for bake me a cake. Remember? I want you to bake me a cake. Well, we don't have much meal left. Just probably one for me and my son. Give it to me first. All of you would hate me if I did that. And yet we talk about how much we love Elijah. If I would say to you, you don't give it to yourself. Make me a cake. Give it to me. I know my name's not Elijah. Is that what he did? That's exactly what he did. Now, our Lord found Peter. What was Peter doing when he found him? He was doing what, sir? Fishing. He was fishing for fish. The Lord made him a fisher of men. From menial to miraculous. Matthew, what was Matthew doing when he found him? Matthew was a tax collector. Made him a writer of the gospel. From tax collector to gospel writer. Not a bad switch. From menial, tax collector, menial, to miraculous gospel writer. You see, if we're faithful in the least, God will show us much. Fetching a drink of water does not sufficient, does really not show all that this lady did because of the fact that I started a while ago. She gave a cup of water, but that was important because a cup of water given in his name would get you a reward, Scripture says. But it really tests the faith when he asked for the bread. And not only just some bread, I want the first cake. Remember that? I want that first cake. Now, it looked as though there would be only one cake, and so it was a real test for that widow woman. But she was there, remember? Alas, isn't it true we kind of give God the crumbs and not the cake? Isn't it true we give the scraps and the fragments and the leftovers of our time and our thought and our talent and our money? We do that, don't we? Malachi reproved the Jews in that day who kept the good animals and gave the Lord the sick and the crippled. How might God thunder at us today who give God, I don't know why we do this, but we give God the crumbs from our tables and we eat the cake ourselves. That's a sad indictment against us. The widow woman was fearful, but Elijah reassured her, "Fear not, for thus saith the Lord, God had promised to provide," and that was enough. There's a little poem I found, "In some way or other, the Lord will provide. It may not be my way, it may not be thy way, and yet in his own way, the Lord will provide." Go with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. You know that verse, but let's go to it. God did not fill the barrel as we Americans would demand to fill it. Most Americans would have, if God was going to fill the barrels, we'd have 15 or 20 barrels full, and we'd go in the basement and put some more down there, and that's not how God did it. God did it just what was necessary every day. He has promised to supply all of our needs. Not our wants, but most of us get our wants as well. Look at me, everybody. Is it true most of us get our wants? Come on. He promises to meet our needs, does he not? "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." God will always, 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 no doubt about it, God will always supply everybody's need. But he does not say he'll supply your wants, but most of the time he gives us our wants too. I mean, if you just look around, most of us have pretty much what we want. We really do. We do. So as long as we are in his will, we should have health enough and time enough and work enough and money enough to do what God wants us to do. Why should we want any more? Why do we want any more? We don't need that. And he never asks us to do more than we can do by his grace. So how is it, ladies and gentlemen, how is it that we let circumstances blind us to the all-sufficiency of God? But we do it all the time. I think of the morning when Elisha's servant must have walked out on the back porch to discover an army. Go with me, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 6. Let me just read a couple verses here. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'll be finished. We're talking about, are we there? Oh, I want to be there. I hope you do too. But here, Elisha's servant, we start down in verse number 13. They're trying to figure out who's telling the enemy. And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." He was confident, 2 Kings 6:13, that he was telling the king. And he said, "Go spy out the land where he is, and I may ascend and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore said he to their horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And here's what I was talking about. When the servant of the man of God was risen early, now we're talking about Elisha and the man of his servant. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, this army is completely surrounding the city of Dothan. They're coming after you, Elisha. They're going to get you. The Syrian army is all out there. But we're not done. What shall we do? Verse 15. And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And the servant is thinking to himself, What are you saying? There's nobody else out there. That Syrian army is all around us. And they're in front of us, they're behind us, they're beside of us, they're everywhere. And the man of God is looking and maybe yawning and said, there's more to be with us than be with him. Are you kidding me? Look. Look at the next thing. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Now hold it. He was already seen. This is not normalized that he was praying to get open. This is his spiritual eyes. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, somewhere along the line, some of us have to develop some spiritual foresight. We have to develop some spiritual sight. And he said, listen, open up his eyes that he may see spiritually. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. He was already seen. But suddenly, what did he see? He saw spiritually. He saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Elisha said, there's more to be with us than be with them. Don't worry. And we need such eye openers today. We need our eyes opened today. Yes, when we are there in the place of God's purpose, we are in the place of his power, and we are in the place of his provision. Let me ask you a question. This altar needs to fill up with folks who perhaps are not there. Are you there? Are you there tonight? There's all kinds of things that happen to us all the time. Are you there? In every situation, are you there? Can you say, I'm there, preacher? I'm right where God wants me. Let's go over those 4 points one more time and I'll be finished. Ladies are coming. Number one, there was the place of God's purpose. Number two, there is the place of God's blessing. Number three, there was the place of God's power. And number four, there was the place of God's provision. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And I wonder tonight, who needs to get there?